Praise God. I appreciate that hearty welcome, and I also appreciate your love and concern for our Lord and Savior Jesus. You can be seated. I'd like to say, as always, that we're grateful to be here tonight. It's a real privilege for me to come and be with God's people, to enjoy the wonderful presence of Jesus, and to have a chance to talk about the things of God. Appreciate so much having our brother James Tidwell with us. I love James very much. I think he's a wonderful person. And I appreciate him coming down from Tennessee to sing for us tonight. They do a wonderful job of singing. Certainly appreciate the brother and sister that's with him. And appreciate every one of you coming out to be with us. I believe I see Brother Abernathy over here, it looks like. The light's a little blinding, but can you raise your hand if that's right? Brother, how do you appreciate Brother Don being out with us tonight? Appreciate Brother Don Abernathy being out with us tonight. That's really a treat, because he usually has his services on Sunday night, and that's something for a minister to come out and be with you, you know, on the night of his services. I appreciate that. Also, Brother Cantrell, he must have put off his services tonight, or either he's got a rearrangement some way or another. He's here with us. We appreciate that so very much. These people coming out to be with us means a lot to us. Mr. Paul is here with us again tonight, and he's been faithful. He's been here with us every night, and I think it's just wonderful, him letting us use the building the way that he has. It's so wonderful. Now then, I want to say to all of you that we appreciate you being here. Appreciate Denny, Brother Ed, and the others being here with us from Tennessee. And some have come to be with us, and some have had to go back. Different ones have come in to be with us. We've had a good turnover and a number of people coming, and we appreciate so very much them coming. Sister Fanny, I believe it is, that's here with us tonight. She's from here somewhere in Atlanta, and she's a faithful supporter of ours. She sends us an offering regular, with a regularity. She's a widow, and she watches us on TV, and she sends an offering regular. You know, we really appreciate that. Perhaps this is her over in the corner, huh, Jerry? Certainly appreciate her being here with us tonight. You know, I guess the TV bill right now is about $40,000 or $50,000, TV and radio. It takes a lot of money, as Brother Taylor said, to be able to carry the gospel. But Jesus has been good to us, and he supplied for us many hundreds of thousands of dollars, because it has taken it as we have tried to carry on world evangelism. And I believe that he'll continue to supply the money that we need. Now, it's my privilege to be here tonight. A lot of things I'd like to say to you, but if I spend too much time talking to you about what I'd like to say, I won't have a chance to tell you what Jesus wants you to know. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn over to the book of Mark, and maybe we'll just talk a little bit about the Bible and talk a little bit about the love of God and our concern for lost souls. Let's turn to the book of St. Mark, over to the 11th chapter, and let's read just a little bit here. Beginning in the 21st verse of the 11th chapter, "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Now, I want you to notice the 22nd verse. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." I'd like for just a few minutes tonight to kind of enlarge on the thought, "Have faith in God." I don't know of a better subject, I don't know of a better text than to talk about having faith in God. Do you? One of the greatest things that I know of concerning the Christian religion is faith. And without faith, the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must first of all believe that there is a God, and he must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you do not believe in a spiritual, supernatural God, then to begin with, you are defeated. And if you do not believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, you still are defeated. The Bible said when you pray, you must believe. It doesn't do you any good to pray if you're not going to believe. You've got to pray and you've got to believe. And if you pray and if you believe, then it'll work out real well for you. But if you pray and don't believe, you're wasting your time. If you believe and don't pray, you're still wasting your time. Faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. So then we've got to have faith in God. You know, I'd like to say this tonight. A lot of times when we're talking about faith, we get kind of confused. People have come to the place in the day that we're living in that they feel that faith is just simply believing. But I want you to know tonight that faith is more than just believing. People believe many things, but that is not faith. To believe many things is not faith. You can believe in a lot of things, but that isn't faith. You can believe in what your grandmother taught you. You can believe in the tradition of the elders. You can believe in anything that you want to believe in. You can believe in what the preacher told you. But if it isn't the word of God, it still isn't faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, and there is no faith outside of the word of God. Now, there is a believing outside of the word of God, but there is no faith outside of the word of God. So then, we are to examine ourselves, as the Bible teaches, to see if we are in the faith. We've got to learn whether or not we are in the faith, whether or not our confidence and our believing is founded upon the word of God, or if it's founded upon some tradition of the elders. See, the Jews got all mixed up about faith, and they founded their confidence in the tradition of the elders, and they deviated from the word of God, and they soon found themselves in some wretched circumstances. Isn't that right? Just because their faith deviated from the word of God. So there is no faith except in the word of God. Now then, the Bible tells us in the last days that men shall depart from the faith. Many people shall depart from the faith in the last days. We're living in the latter times. I spoke of the latter times this morning. We're living in the latter times, and in the latter times, the Bible tells us that men shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So then many shall depart from the faith. But we must remember one thing now. Departing from a doctrine is not departing from faith. Departing from some churchism is not departing from the faith. Departing from something that you've been taught all your life is not departing from the faith. Leaving a certain church or a denomination, that is not departing from the faith. But brother, when you forsake the word of God and you turn away from the word of God, you are departing from the faith. For faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, and when you turn away from the word of God, and many people in this day are turning away from the word of God, and when you turn away from the word of God, you've turned away from the faith. So in the latter times, many shall turn away from the faith. You know, we don't like to believe that there's such things as doctrines of devils, now do we? We don't like to think along those lines. We don't like to think about doctrines of devils, but yet there is doctrines of devils. You say, Brother Pike, what is a doctrine of the devil? A doctrine of the devil is something that's not of the word of God. Anything that you teach for salvation or redemption or a religious thing that is not of the word of God, it is a doctrine of the devil. There is only one doctrine that
Christ has, and that's the apostolic doctrine that he set up at Pentecost when he set up the first church and 3,000 was added unto the church. There is no other doctrine. That's the only doctrine that the apostolic church has ever had or ever will have. That was the first church. That was the beginning of the only church, and it has continued down through the years because Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Today, the same identical teachings applies to the church of today. It hasn't changed at all. Men have changed, and they've come up with great religious bodies of believers. They've come up with great denominations. They've come up with all kinds of movements, and they've added thousands of people to it, and they've taken on popularity, and they've taken on prestige, and they've drawn to themselves much fame and millions of dollars. But brother and sister, that doesn't change God's plan one bit. You can join every television club that there is to join, but when you get through joining, you're just as lost as you was to start with if you've never been born again. You've got to be born of God's Spirit if you intend to get to heaven, folks. It's going to take faith in God. And so then Jesus said, have faith in God. Coming up from Bethany, as Jesus came from Bethany, here he, being hungry, the Bible said he saw this fig tree. As he looked upon it, he was hungry. He was going to get some figs to eat, but the Bible said it wasn't time for figs. You know, the Bible tells us to be instant in season when it's out of season. Isn't that right? You know, if God wants you to do something, it doesn't matter, Ed, whether it's in season or not. God's the one that made the fig tree. Isn't that right? When God comes to a fig tree and he says, give me figs, that fig tree needs to give him figs. Isn't that right? If God comes to you and you're a little bit out of tune or out of season, and God says, I want the fruits of the Spirit, you need to give him the fruits of the Spirit. He made you. You can't say, I can't do it. You just look and say, I believe. I believe. I believe. Whatever you say, that's the way it is. I believe. You know, God might say to me, give that man $1 million. I can't say I can't give him $1 million because I don't have $1 million, because God is the one that owns all the gold and silver. I just say, I believe, God. If you said do it, I believe. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you said do it, I believe. You know, I've had my back to the wall many times for many thousands of dollars, and I'd hear God speak to me and he'd say, give that man $1,000 in the offering over yonder. I'd say, Lord, I ain't got $1,000, but I'm not going to worry about it. If you said, give him $1,000, then give him $1,000, I will. And I'd give him $1,000. You say, how could you do that, Brother Pike, when you didn't have $1,000? I don't know. I've never tried to figure it out. I just gave him the $1,000. God saw that I had it. That's the way it's supposed to be. If God tells us to do something, we're supposed to do it. Isn't that right? We're supposed to do what God tells us to do. We're supposed to have faith in God. Whatever God tells us to do, that's what we're supposed to do, children of God. We're just supposed to believe, that's all. We're not supposed to question God. If God tells us something, why should I then question God? He's God. He does what he wants to. God creates when there's nothing there. If God says it, it's got to be that way. Whether I believe it or not, whether I see it or not, whether it's that way or not, if God says it, that's the way it is. God came forth. God looked, and there was nothing. But God said, let there be something, and something came forth. Isn't that right? Today, scientists still try to figure it out. They've done everything from teach evolution to I don't know what, trying to figure out what God done. They say it happened this way, and they theorize it, and next year they get all mixed up because they can't make it fit. And then they go back and they re-theorize it, and they still can't make it fit. You know, they take their little theory of evolution and they try to bring man from a tadpole, run him down through the line of a monkey, and bring him from a baboon. But I'm glad I don't believe that. I'm glad that I believe God's got more ability than to have to make a man out of a baboon. I believe he can make a man out of nothing. I don't think he has to have a baboon to make a man, do you? and they try to figure out how the world of vegetation got here. And they tell how the seed got here, you know, and how all these things happened. But they don't know how to explain the scripture where it says the trees grew before they were ever in the ground. What are we going to do with that? Somebody said, well, God planted a tree and it came up. The Bible didn't say that. It said they grew before they were ever in the earth. Those trees grew before they were ever in the earth. What do we do with that? There was no seed planted in the earth. God made the tree grow and then he set it out. He done it his own way. Scientists can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I'm not trying to figure it out. I just believe what he said about it. If the Bible says it that way, then I believe it's that way. You know, scientists, they think they're real smart. Intellectual powers, education, PhDs of today, they're driving themselves crazy with a brainstorm. Trying to figure it out. They've got religion all mixed up in it now. Trying to figure it out. And Paul tells them very plainly, it's science falsely so called. The word science meaning knowledge, it's a false knowledge. There's nothing to it, Paul said. I count all my learning as dung, that I might not know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. He said what we need to do is pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. That's what we need to do. We don't need to be researching in books and following after science. We need to be on our knees calling on God and asking God if he'll give us the spirit of revelation. For the Bible said God has hid these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, that they are abundantly above all that we can ask and think. There's no way a man can even think of it. No studying will ever get him to it. He can't do anything but trust in God and believe God. He's got to have the spirit of revelation. He's got to have God to reveal it to him, for it's abundantly above all that we're able to ask and think. So then the only way that we can get it, the Bible said he hath revealed it unto us by his spirit. He hath revealed it unto babes such as will learn, that we should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might reveal these things to us and exalt us in due season. Hallelujah. So then again, I say, have faith in God. You know, I stood there on the Mount of Olives and I've looked across the hill toward Bethany. And I remember how the scripture teaches that Jesus came down from Jerusalem and then across the valley of Kidron, go up there, and in the night season or way before the day ever broke, he would get up and he would go there to pray. And there on the mountain, he would pray to God, pray until the break of day. And many times, weary and tired, he would make his way over to Bethany, and he would go over to Martha and Mary's house and over to Lazarus's place and there refresh himself a little bit. And in this particular story, the Bible said he was coming from Bethany and he was hungry. He was on his way over to Jerusalem, was going to preach a little bit. And as he come down through there, he saw this fig tree. And the Bible said Jesus, being hungry, he went to it to see if there was any figs upon it, to where he could get him a little bite to eat. But when he got to the fig tree, there was no figs. And Jesus turned to the fig tree and said, no figs can grow on thee forever. This is the end of it for you. Because you did not give figs to me, you can't produce figs anymore. You know, that's a sad thought, to think that God would come to you and tell you because you've not produced the fruits of the Spirit, he's going to cut you down and never let you produce any life or spirit or fruits anymore. Isn't that right? If God just come to you and say, "You, I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to take away your life, and you're never going to live anymore. You're never going to breathe anymore. You're never going to think anymore. You're never going to talk anymore. You're never going to be alive anymore. I'm going to take your life away from you because you didn't produce the fruits of the Spirit." That would be a sad thing. That would be a sad thing if God came to you. But did you know God can do that? Did you know that God can do that to some of you tonight, and that God may do that to some of you tonight? You know, the Bible speaks of one tree. He kept coming and he kept coming. He kept looking for fruit and he couldn't find any. And after a while he said, cut the thing down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why just have it out here among all the trees that's bearing fruit? Just get rid of the thing. Do away with it. And somebody began to plead the cause of it and said, let me dung around it a little bit. Let me work around it a little bit longer. Don't cut it down yet. Just give me a little more time. Did you know that if it wasn't for the preachers pleading the cause of God, if it wasn't for the preachers pleading, begging, asking God to spare some of you, he'd cut you down? Did you know that if it wasn't for the interceding and the fasting and the praying and the begging of the preacher, that God would cut America down, that God would cut the nations down? If it wasn't for the ministry interceding and pleading and begging God to be merciful, God would cut the thing down. But they keep on saying, Lord, be merciful. Lord, be merciful. Give us a little more time. God said, but you wearied me. You wearied me. You wearied me. And they said, but how have we wearied you, God? He said, when you say the evil is good, you weary me. When you say the evil is good, you weary me. When you say that I love the wicked, you weary me. I'm angry with the wicked every day. I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. The offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. I said last night, God doesn't have to have the offering of the wicked. Why does God have to have the offering of the wicked? God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. All of the gold is his. All of the silver is his. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. The offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. Why then does people pursue hard after the wicked to try to get their dollars, to try to get their money, to try to get their finance, when the Bible said it's abomination in the sight of God? You know what it is? Those people that's pursuing after that kind of thing, those people are not of God to begin with. If they were of God, as I preached last night, they would speak God's word. If they'd have stood in the counsel of God, would not they have caused the people to turn from their sins? Would not they have been taught holiness unto God? Wouldn't they have been taught the right way? Wouldn't they have been taught that God is a spirit of holiness? And wouldn't they have believed in the right thing? Wouldn't they have had faith in God instead of just some wild imagination, instead of belonging to some doctrine, instead of belonging to some denomination? Wouldn't they have had holiness of heart? Wouldn't they believe in old-time godly holiness? Wouldn't they lift up a blood-stained banner of righteousness and holiness to the people and tell the people that they've got to be holy? If they had stood in the counsel of God, they would have. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. Isn't that right? When God sends somebody, that person will speak God's word. When a person stands in the counsel of God, you know what they'll do? They'll preach God's word. And you know what they'll do? They'll tell people that they've got to forsake their sins. And they'll tell people that they've got to get away from worldliness. For the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people. And touch not the unclean things, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. They would tell the people that if they've got the love of the world in them, the love of the Father is not there. They would tell them to get away from the things of the world if they'd have stood in the counsel of God. If they'd have took counsel of God, they would have spoke God's word. And what does God's word tell them to do? To get away from those kind of things. To forsake those kind of things. To clean up their heart. If anything be lovely and pure, anything have any virtue in them, get your mind on this. Think on those things. Create an atmosphere for God in your heart to where God can dwell in there. Get rid of worldliness. Brother, sister, I know that a lot of times we don't seem to understand. But did you know that this world is nothing but the husk that the swine fill their belly with? Did you know that the world is nothing but the husk that the swine fill their belly with? Did you know that God is a spirit and that God is the power of revelation and God is the spirit of healing? God is the spirit of resurrection. That God is the spirit of life. And that all of this world is for is something for God to project himself through to the intelligence of human beings. This world is but a veil. God is a spirit. You can't see God. You can't see God with your natural eyes. You'll never see God. You know, I say this so often. They teach that someday when we get up yonder, we're going to see God. We're going to sit there and we're going to see God. And we're going to see one God and we're going to see two gods and we're going to see three gods. And I don't know how many. Some of them say two gods. Some of them say three gods. They've got all kind of gods anymore. But you know what? I want you to know something tonight. The Bible said that God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. Somebody would say, well, Moses saw God, Moses saw the Lord. No man has ever seen God at any time. No man is ever going to see God at any time. There's no way to see God. I've said this many times. 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, according to science. Do you think that God, the great light, can be seen with these little puny things we call eyes? Do you think that man, as puny as he is, could see God? When the Bible says in the book of Revelation that God, the great light, the Ancient of Days, when he comes, that the earth flees away and there's no place found for the earth. And the Bible said when that great light comes, the heavens pass away and there's no place found for the heavens. Even the earth, even the sea, even the mountains, the stars, the moon, the heavens can't stand in his presence. And to think that you and I could ever see God. Just a little light come down and Paul was blinded. Just a little bit of the Shekinah glory of God come down upon Moses, and he had to put a veil over his face so that the children could look at him. God is the great light, folks. He's the great light. The only way to see God is to be pure in heart. Did you know that? God is a spirit. You have to comprehend God. The Bible said that light shined in darkness, and that intellectual darkness couldn't comprehend it. They were too intellectual. They were too smart. They were too intelligent. They couldn't comprehend spiritual things. That light shined in the midst of that darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it. But the Bible teaches that we've got the mind of Jesus Christ. We can comprehend it. We can comprehend the heights. We can comprehend the depth. We can comprehend the width. We can comprehend the length of it. Because we have the mind of Christ, and Christ is heir to the glory of God. Therefore, we can comprehend it. That light, that great light, to see God, one must die. For no man can live and see God. Therefore, if your man part dies, then you're not a man anymore. If you become a son of God, then you can see God. Only the body of Jesus can see God, because the body of Jesus dwells in that light. He's the only one that's heir to that glory. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. The book of Revelation says the heavens passed away, the earth passed away. But he said, my word shall never pass away. If you're bone of his bone, if you're flesh of the word tonight, if you're bone of the word tonight, if you're the members of the word body tonight, brother, when heaven and earth passes away, you'll still be around. But if you're not bone of that bone, and if you're not flesh of that flesh, when the heavens perish and the earth perish, you'll perish with it. Because this world is but a veil, and it's the husk that the swine fill their bellies with. Now, when we think of this great light, how can we get into the presence of it? There's only one way. That's faith in God. Faith in God. If I have faith in God, I can get into the presence of that great light. But if I don't have faith in God, I cannot enter into the presence of that great light, because I have access to it through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I go through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can enter into the presence of that great light. Jesus said, I am the door, and no man can come into the Spirit but by this word. No man can be translated into that Spirit except by this word mind that I'm speaking of. You've got to have this word mind if you get translated into that great light. And you know, when we speak of light, you know, we think of the natural light here, which is only a typical thing. But we're not talking about that. We are talking about the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You can't see God with these natural eyes. You see God with the eyes of understanding, because God is a spirit. We comprehend God. We comprehend God. That's the only way to see God. Jesus said, I see always the things that my Father does, and I do always the things that my Father tells me to do. Oh, how carnal we are. How natural we are. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I can't because you're carnal. He said, you're still babes, and all you can get is the milk of the word. But he said, the meat is for the strong, they who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. Brother, tonight, the great light is in the veil. The great light is in the veil. And you must be able to penetrate the veil. You must be able to see beyond the veil if you want to see that great light, that great mind of God that created heaven and earth, that great enlightening mind that can raise the dead, that great enlightening mind that can restore the blind eyes, that great enlightening mind that can unstop the deaf ears, that great enlightening mind that can cause you to bypass the grave. You know, last night as I was talking, I was preaching on the resurrection and the life last night. Martha and Mary, you know, they were weeping. They were all torn up about Lazarus. I spoke to you about it last night, and I said I'll pick up there tomorrow night. And there they were at the grave, and they were weeping, and they were all torn up. And here, as they stood there at the grave, Jesus said, now don't weep. Everything's going to be all right. Don't be all tore up about it. Your brother's going to rise. And they said, well, we know that. While we're not in doubt of that, we know that our brother's going to rise. We know that in the resurrection, he'll rise again. In the day of the resurrection, our brother will rise again. Jesus said, but I am the resurrection. You don't understand. I'm the resurrection. I'm here right now. You don't have to wait till later. I'm already here. Folks, why don't we wake up to the fact that Christ is already here? We don't have to wait on the resurrection. Why are we waiting on the resurrection? I've got the resurrection in my heart. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. The lake of fire hath no power over the soul when you've been born again. There's a world of difference when you differentiate between the two. You know, there's a difference between death and sleep. There's a difference between death and sleep. Did you know that if you taste of the second death, that is death. The second death is death. That's the death, because that is separation from God. That's your spirit being separated from the eternal spirit. That is death, the second death, the lake of fire after the millennium. It comes. That is death. The lake of fire, the separation from God, that is death. Tonight, if your spirit is separated from God by sin, then you abide in death. You're going into the lake of fire. That's death. When your spirit is separated from God, that's death. But brother, just because you lay down in the dust, that doesn't mean you're dead. Jesus said, Lazarus is just asleep. I'm going to go there and wake him up. I'm going to wake him up. That's why Paul used the term, behold, I show you a mystery. All of us are not going to sleep. I said the other night, all of us are not sleepy. Some of us are children of the day. We're not sleepy. We're not going to sleep. Some folks are children of the night. They're drunken in the night. They're drunken off of the cares of the world. They're children of the darkness. They're children of intellectual reasoning. And they're caught in the darkness, and they're caught in the veil, and they're caught in the night. And they're sleepy, and they're sluggish, and they're going to sleep. But we're children of the day. We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. We've got the understanding of God in our heart. Isn't that right? We've got the understanding of Christ. So then tonight, I'm a child of the daylight. I'm a child of that light from another world. I'm dwelling in that city where the Lamb is the light. I don't need the moonlight and the sunlight. The moonlight could go out. That wouldn't bother me. Now, it might disturb this old intellectual mind a little bit. But the moonlight going out, that wouldn't disturb me. I've got light on the inside. I've got an eternal light that can never be put out. I've got Christ abiding in me. I've got the resurrection on the inside of me. I pass from death unto life. And tonight, I stand here alive forevermore. I stand here alive forevermore. Paul said, I want to show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. He said, we're not all going to sleep. He said, some of us is going to get past the grave. Some of us is going to get past the grave. We're not all going to sleep. Some of us is going to get past the grave. We're not all going to be put down in the dust. They're not going to throw dirt in all of our faces. Some of us is going to bypass the grave. Why? Because I've discovered a mystery. What is the mystery? The revelation of Christ Jesus. That's what it is. Christ has given it to us. We've discovered something. What is it? It's for this generation. It's for this generation. We have the opportunity to bypass the grave. Can we bypass the grave? We can bypass the grave. I go to awake Lazarus because Lazarus is asleep. Brother, when you sin the sin of the soul, you die. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And you die when you sin the sin of the soul, you die. But just because you close your eyes in what the world calls death doesn't mean that you're dead at all. You're just asleep. That's all. Jesus will be by to awake those that sleep. And the Bible said those that sleep, when he comes, he'll bring with him. So then he's going to wake them up because they're just asleep. There's a world of difference. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, brother, if you're dead, you're dead. But that's not true at all. There's a world of difference, my brother. There's a world of difference in your flesh going to sleep and your soul dying. There's a world of difference. And we who have been born again, we pass from death unto life. We that have been born again, we can never die. We can never die because we can never sin. There's no way that you can die because to die you've got to sin. And there's no way you can sin. The Bible said he that is born of God, he cannot sin because the seed of God remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is born of God. Therefore, there is no way that he can die. Oh, what a beautiful thing Paul said. The revelation of Jesus Christ. These things has been made known unto us. Can we bypass the grave? We can bypass the grave. Should we bypass the grave? We will bypass the grave. There's a generation that will learn. There's a generation that will understand. There's a generation that will come into the knowledge of God. And they will bypass the grave. Now, when we think of these things, can we actually bypass the grave? Are we a people that's more privileged than the people in the past? Far more privileged. We're the greatest privileged people on the earth. Great men have desired to see what you see and to understand what you understand, but they never saw it. You know, I'd fasted for numbers of years, prayed, fasted, preached, sought God. I didn't know anything about something called the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'd preached across the nation. I'd fasted sincerely. I'd prayed for hours, sometimes 8 and 9 hours on my knees. But I still didn't know nothing about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't know there was such a thing. But brother, one day God spoke to me and he said, son, I want to have a little talk with you. I want you to go with me. And he took me away in the spirit and he began to talk with me. And I thought at first I was losing my mind. And God began to speak to me. And he said, I want to reveal to you the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ that Paul the apostle had. The same revelation that John the revelator had. You know, the other night I made this statement. A lot of people, they read the book of Revelation, you know, that John wrote about 96 AD, just a few short years after Calvary. Here John is exiled to a little rocky island off of the Mediterranean there. There, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the Bible teaches that he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. Read it. The first thing it says, the first chapter, the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then when we read that, a lot of times the devil will really pounce on our back and say, wait, you can't get revelation today now. You can't do that. Because the Bible said that if you add anything unto this book, then the plagues of this book will be added unto you. If you take anything out of this book, then your part will be taken out of the book of life. And he'll say, now that's all there is right there. What John got, that's it. But then when you read over there where Paul is, old brother Paul said the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here he comes with the same title John gave it. He said the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the things Paul said was altogether different from what John said. But yet it was line upon line, precept upon precept. It was still that great, mighty revelation. And Paul said, because of my much revelation, isn't that right? There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted beyond measure because of my much revelation. Isn't that right? And you see that devil buffeting Paul everywhere he goes. When the woman got behind him and began to make mockery of him. Over there when the angel, the evil angel that followed, caused him to be thrown into prison. And everywhere Paul would go, the devil would stir up something against him to buffet him, to cause him problems. But God had to do it to keep him humble, because they would have made a god at him, out of him. On one occasion, they fell at their feet over there, and they wanted to make a god out of Paul. God had to humble him, because he had come to such great, wonderful knowledge, such great, wonderful understanding. Oh, brother, sister, today, the Bible said, now is made known unto you the manifold wisdom of God, even that understanding that's in heavenly places. Now the church has access to that great, wonderful mind of Jesus. We have access to the great, wonderful spiritual understanding of the great God of heaven. But you know what's wrong with the church today? We'd rather play volleyball. We'd rather play basketball. We'd rather play football. We'd rather go to something out in the world today than to get in there and get the revelation and see the excitement of God. We'd rather start us a basketball team or a football team or something like that to take up our time with, instead of getting spiritual and doing the things that God wants us to do. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. What we need to do is to wake up. What we need to do is forget about the things of the world. We've got something so great and so mighty. Why do we want to rub elbows with the world? What do we care about the president and the governors? What do we care about the millionaires? What we're interested in is Christ. We're interested in eternal life. We're interested in this great, wonderful knowledge. Old Brother Paul said, I count all things as lost, everything, having said at the feet of Gamaliel, having belonged to the Sanhedrin, the great things of that day. Oh, brother, sister, he said, I count this as nothing. I count that as loss, that I might obtain unto the excellency of the knowledge of God. I want the knowledge of God, Paul said. Old brother Solomon said, keep on searching and you'll find the knowledge of God. You say, what good is the knowledge of God, brother Pike? It's this good. It can cause you to bypass the grave. It can do what medical science can't do. And I said, well, I'm satisfied with medical science. I'm going to remind you again tonight of what I reminded you of the other night. Medicine can't heal. Think it over now. There is no healing in medicine. There is no healing with a doctor. There is no healing in a hospital. Think it over now. There is no healing with a doctor. There is no healing in medicine. There is no healing in the hospital. You say, I beg your difference, Brother Pike. I say again, brother, sister, if there's healing in the doctor, if there's healing in the medicine, if there's healing in the hospital, why does the Bible say in that day there shall be no healing medicines? What are you going to do then? See, the healing's in God. And I say again, because of the days of grace, God has been merciful. He's given the doctors the medicine, hospital, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Pouring the oil and the wine of the wound, bind it up, you can help it. But my brother, don't lean on a broken staff. Don't go down to Egypt for your help. Don't put your trust in the things of this world. God's only being merciful because people are short in faith. All God's done, he's give grace in the day that we're living in. He's give the blood atonement in the day that we're living in. Why has God given it? He's given it so we can have grace. So we can have grace. The blood atonement brings us grace. So that we can have mercy. That way we can have healing. Are you following me? That way God can bring a healing medicine. God can give a knowledge for a hospital. God can give something to aid and to work with us, and something to help, because we've been short on faith. We've been like children. We've been trying our best to believe, to come to know faith. And God has given us something to help us until we can mature. Isn't that right? But brother and sister, remember, if after God has brought us to the knowledge of the truth, to teach us faith in God, to teach us faith in the Word of God, and to show us divine healing, if we continue not to use our faith, and if we continue to go down to Egypt for our help, if we continue to lean upon the arm of flesh, then we're going to be in trouble. Because God, in that He has given us a knowledge of a greater power to heal, a greater source, then it's time that we turn to the greater power. We turn to the greater source. For all of this other was just a little age of mercy to help us till we could develop our faith. And just as soon as God gets the church ready, God is going to take healing out of medicine. God is going to take the healing away from the doctors. God is going to lift the blood off of the seat of atonement, and the days of grace is going to be gone, and men is going to suffer so that the Bible said they'll pray for death. They'll pray for death. They'll pray for death just to get relief. So then, God is working with us. God is working with us. Are we going to work with God? Are we just going to lean on the arm of flesh and say, well, today is a different day. I know the Bible says this, but after all, it don't work and I can't figure it out. So it must have been like this and I just didn't understand. So we'll all just go to the doctors and the hospitals, and we'll continue on doing the thing we're doing. And when we have problems and pains, we'll let the hospital take care of it. God isn't going to do that. God isn't going to do that, folks. God isn't going to do that. Remedies are good. Isn't that right? Orators are great. Presidents are for a purpose. But the Bible said, in that day, no man shall save them. There won't be any orators. There won't be any great, brilliant men. There won't be anybody that can save them in that day. Nobody can save us in that day but Jesus. The Bible said He alone shall be exalted in that day. The Lord Himself, He alone shall be exalted in that day. That day is coming, and we're close to that day, brother and sister. So then the veil is being taken off. God has taken away the veil. You remember the writer said in the reading of the Old Testament, there is a veil over the minds of the people, which veil remaineth unto today, untaken away, except we get in Christ. He said, when we get in Christ, then the veil melts away. With the brightness of the coming of that great light, the earth flees away. The heavens flee away. Why does the heavens pass away? Why does the earth pass away? Why does everybody that's unlike God pass away? It's because it is a veil. And it's like the sunshine that hits the snowbank. When the sunshine comes, the snow melts. And so it is when the great light comes, the veil of darkness and intellectual reasoning fades away. Are you listening tonight now? Where did the veil come from to start with? It came from the fall of mankind. It came from the fall of mankind. When Eve partook of the tree of knowledge, intellectual reasoning, that dark veil of intellectual reasoning, that satanic power of death, that overshadowing of the angel of darkness dropped down on the spirits. It dropped down on the mind. It dropped down inside of Eve, and she went into darkness. She took it and shared it with Adam. And then when the Lord came, He couldn't find him. What was the matter? God hadn't got lost. God had not got lost. Adam and Eve had got lost. Isn't that right? Adam and Eve was the one that was lost. God wasn't lost. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. God was not lost. It was Adam and Eve that was lost. What was wrong with them? The middle wall of partition had come in. That had separated them from God. Isn't that right? That veil. What kind of veil was it? It was the beast. It was the beast. Now I said last night we just pick up a little bit right along there. It was a beast. We were talking about gods last night. Isn't that right? We were talking about being gods last night. How that God has made us gods. How have you got time to listen a minute? Talking about gods last night. Tonight we're talking about beasts. Talking about beast. The Lord said, let us make man in our own image. Isn't that right?
So then somebody would say, in the image we are. And I've said before, if we're in the image, it's hard to figure out what God looks like. If we're in the image, it's hard to figure out what God looks like. Because some of us are fat and some of us are skinny and some of us are bald. Some of us are bushy. Are you listening? I said it's hard to figure out what God looks like. Oh, some of us are young, some of us are old. What does God look like? Some of us are children, some of us are women, some of us are men. But if we're made in His image, what does He look like? You know what it is, folks? Adam was made in the image of God, but when Adam fell from the garden, he lost the image of God. He lost the image of God. That's why the Bible tells us that we don't know what He looks like. But we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him. Every man that hath this hope within himself purifies himself even as he is pure. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, there was Jesus. That was God walking the earth. They saw His image. If that be true, why was it that Jesus looked at him and said, you've not heard His voice nor seen His image at any time. You've not heard His voice nor seen His image at any time. There He stood. You say, but that was the image of God. But the Bible said He was made in the image of man. Jesus came to be made in our image. Isn't that right? When He come up from the grave, they didn't recognize Him. You know why they didn't recognize Him? The Bible said He appeared in another form. He appeared in another form and walked down the way to Emmaus with them. Are you listening now? He appeared in another form. He talked to them in a different way. And they didn't recognize Him there as He walked. What did God mean by that? That's why He used the terms like this. You cover with a covering, but not of me. You cover with a covering, but not of me. Adam, where art thou? Eve, where art thou? We've got the fig leaves on. What are you doing with fig leaves on? We were naked. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? Well, we lost our covering. What kind of covering? What kind of covering? You know, every time I come up here, I wish I had time to preach, but we don't. We just have to exhort a little bit and go back home. You know, it takes time to preach. I say so often, Paul took all night and he finally got one sermon out. Listen, folks. They had lost a covering. They had lost a covering. They had lost their garments. You say, Brother Pike, they were naked. They were ashamed because that's what they said. But that wasn't it at all. They were not ashamed because they were naked without clothing. That wasn't it. Because they were naked to begin with. They didn't have any clothing to start with. God never put them on any. And they were not ashamed. So it wasn't because they were naked. They had lost something else, my brother, sister. What was it? It was the Shekinah covering of His glory. The overshadowing covering that kept them alive eternally. Adam and Eve did not have eternal life. Adam and Eve was in the presence of eternal life. If they had eternal life, they could never have died. But being in the presence of eternal life, they could have lived eternally if they'd have stayed within His presence. But when the devil enticed them out, when the beast's mind took them out from under the presence of God, when the beast's mind led them away, they got into the same circumstances that some of you are in today. You're listening to that old beast's mind. You're listening to that old intellectual mind. You're turning back to that old tree of knowledge instead of the tree of life. Isn't that right? How do you know that man's intellectual reasoning is a tree of death? How do you know that that comes from the devil and man is a beast unless he's the son of God? How do you know that God calls us trees? And did you know that we're called the trees of God and we're full of sap? And you that have the mind of Christ, did you know that you are a tree of life? And that you shall be as a tree that's planted by the water that shall bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever you do shall prosper, because your roots go down into the river of life. For out of your innermost being flows a river of living water. Out of your innermost being comes a river of living water. And your roots go down into the river of life. I said last night that river of life that flows from the throne, that those trees are on either side of it. and the roots is down in the river of life. So they produce fruits of life because we are trees of life. Therefore, they that eat of our fruit shall live forever. But the beast is in this world. Did you know that? The beast is in this world. How can you tell him? How can you tell the difference between the image of God and the beast? You can tell. What's the difference? The Bible said the child is known by his doings. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. The devil loves the things of the world. If you've got a carnal mind, you're dead. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that right? How can you tell the difference between a God and between a devil? Between a beast and between a son of God? How can you tell the difference? If the beast is in the garden today, where is he at? You can tell the difference. How can you tell the difference? The Bible said that God put him on his belly. God put him on his belly. Are you listening? God put him on his belly. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And he shall eat of the earth all the days of your life. Isn't that right? And the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. All of man's labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. God put him on his belly. And he called him a generation of vipers, a seed of the serpent. Are you listening? He's on his belly. You can tell him he's on his belly. All of his labor is for his belly. I say this a lot of times, not to be comical, but to get the point over. Man labors for his belly. Everything that he takes goes into his belly. He works hard to make money, to feed his belly, so that he can get the strength to buy him a home, so he can house his belly. And then he works hard to get the money to buy him an automobile, so he can ride his belly down to the soda pop shop. And all that he does is for his belly. For the Bible said all of his labor is for his belly, because God put him on his belly and his belly craves it of him. But glory to God, Jesus said, I got some meat to eat that you don't know nothing about. They said, Lord, you better feed the belly. He said, I got some meat that you don't know nothing about. He that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of the hidden manna. Is that right? He that overcometh, I will give unto him to eat of that hidden manna. What had happened to Adam and Eve? They'd lost the covering. They had lost the covering. What kind of covering? The image of the Son of God. They had been made in the image of God. But when they got out of the presence of the Shekinah glory, they left the image behind. They left the image behind. And what did they do? They got him a new covering. They took on the image of the beast. You say, but Brother Pike, you can't prove that by the Bible. But the Bible said, as we have borne the image of the earthly, as we have borne the image of the earthly, if we overcome, we can bear the image of the heavenly. For if we leave this body, if this tabernacle, this temple be dissolved, we've got another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. What is that other body? The body of Jesus. Where is heaven at? The spirit. That body that's in the spirit. That image of Jesus. That covering that Adam and Eve lost. Because Jesus was the express image of God. He was the covering of God. And the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in Jesus. The great Shekinah glory of God was inside of the veil of the body of Jesus. And tabernacled in the Son of God. Somebody say amen. The covering of his glory was Jesus. And brother, the Bible said if we stand in that day without that wedding garment, we'll be bound hand and feet and turned into the outer darkness. He said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He said, for as many as been baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. My beloved brother, sister, tonight, have you found that covering? They cover with the covering, but not of me. They cover with a covering, but it's not my glory. Adam, where art thou? Eve, where art thou? We were ashamed, Lord, because we were naked. Oh, but you was naked to start with. You know where they were naked? They were naked in their spirit. They had got under condemnation. They had condemnation. You follow me? They had condemnation. That's where the shamefulness was. You know, as long as you got God in your heart, you're not ashamed. For the Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed. Are you listening? They had lost their hope and they were ashamed. But Jesus Christ, the hope of glory within you, my brother, he won't let you be ashamed. But when you lose the hope of godliness, you lose the covering. You lose that wonderful blessing of God. You don't have on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have the wedding garment. Therefore, you are ashamed. Adam, where art thou? Eve, where art thou? Where we were naked and we hid ourselves. Who told you that? Who told you that you were naked? While we were naked, the beast told us that. The serpent, he's the one that told us that. The serpent, he told us that. The serpent told us that. We were ashamed. We were ashamed. So we hid ourselves. As for a moment, God has hid himself from us. But brother, sister, tonight, what we need is faith in God. When you lose hope, then you don't have any faith. Faith, hope, and charity, the greatest of these is charity. Why? You say, Brother Pike, why isn't faith the greatest? Because faith worketh by charity. Faith worketh by love. And we're translated by faith. Is that right? We're translated by faith. And so then if we be translated by faith, then that means we need love. Because love makes our faith work so it can translate us. Our spirit into the marvelous spirit of our Heavenly Father. That great light. It shined in darkness, but they couldn't get the revelation. It shined in darkness, but they couldn't get the revelation. And the revelator said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation so that you can comprehend the light. For it shined in darkness, but the intellectual reasoning couldn't figure it out. And so then they went on their way. They went on their way because they couldn't figure it out. But oh, my brother and sister, we be children of the day. We are children of the day. Therefore, we understand. Don't we understand? If we can have faith in God, Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's what we want to do, is to have faith in God. I want you to stand with me. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I wish we had time to go into this a little more thorough. So much is involved in Revelation till it's very hard to be able to preach a real God sermon, you know, in 20 or 30 minutes. But nevertheless, we're glad to have opportunity to say what we can to you and to do what we can for you. And I want you to think on this tonight because something is happening. Something is happening. There is a great and a mighty thing that's taking place. Something is happening. The veil of this world is about to pass away. Did you know God spoke this world into existence? Did you know that? He let it come forth by the intellectual reasoning of the veil of the beast's mind. But did you know that God is going to speak this world out of existence the same way he spoke it into existence? If it was God through Jesus Christ that spoke it into existence, then that means if we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ through the mouth of Jesus Christ or the members of his body, God is going to speak it out of existence. You say, Brother Pike, how can he speak it out of existence? As the revelation of Jesus Christ comes forth and it unveils everything, everything in this world, the world will fade away and there'll be nothing left except that great mind of God in that world of light. For everything in the veil will be eradicated with the brightness of the coming. As it is spoke out of existence, as the mind transformates from glory to glory, as it is spoken, it will be taken out. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to say that the trees are going to disappear and the earth is going to disappear? No, the Bible said the earth is made to be inhabited. One generation comes, another goes, but the earth, it lasts on forever and ever. But see, the Bible said the world is in your heart. The world is in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The kingdom of God is in your heart. Isn't that right? So then if the world got into the heart by the tree of knowledge, then Jesus Christ with the word of God, as he transforms the mind, he's going to speak the world out of your heart. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a mind of another world. And you're going to have eyes of understanding. You're going to be in another world. You're going to be another creature. You're going to be seeing another world. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what good would that do? Well, you could walk right through the walls. Now, somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, let's not get beside ourselves. Well, Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for God. Jesus come out of the grave, folks. He walked through the wall. Somebody would say, yes, but that's different. He was a spirit. Why did he tell him over there, fill of me? He said, you fill of me. He said, a spirit don't have flesh, bones as you see me have. That flesh and bone walked right through that wall. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, that was after he died. You know, I asked the question last night, what does that have to do with it, folks? What good is dying? You know, we don't have time to elaborate or get on it tonight. But I asked the question last night, what good is it if somebody puts you in a box and you lay out there 10 years and rot? After you lay there about 10 years and rot to get to where, as the Bible said, he stinketh by now. Then you say, now he's dead, he's rotten, he stinks. He's ready to go into the kingdom of God. You can't put that together now, can you? The Bible said death is the enemy of God. God don't have no pleasure in death. God didn't bring death. Adam and Eve brought death. The Bible said death come by man. That's why Jesus brought the resurrection, so it could come by man. God ain't interested in death. You know, we've been programmed down through the years. Die, die, die. Everybody's got to die. Pointed at a man wants to die. You got to die. You got to die. Listen, I say again, it is true that the Bible said it is appointed that a man wants to die. After that, the judgment. But the Bible also says that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. The Bible also teaches that though it's appointed unto man wants to die, brother, it's not appointed unto sons of God to die. How many of you are sons of God? We're not men tonight. There's no appointment unto us for death. Our appointment is unto life. We pass from death unto life. We're not men. We're not men. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, now wait a minute. If you are a man, you couldn't do that. How did Jesus as a man walk up on the Mount of Transfiguration and walk into glory? Now think it over. That was before he died. Somebody said he walked through the wall because he died. Well, how in the world did he walk right out into eternity and walk through the barriers of time and wind up over yonder in paradise somewhere before he died? How did he do that? That was before he died. You understand what I'm saying, folks? And then explain this. How was it that Enoch was translated that he should not see death? Can you tell me? Can you tell me? How is it that Enoch was translated he should not see death? Now, I say this pretty often. I say this because of the teaching in the land that's contrary. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but he's got to come back and die. Now, you can't put that together, can you? Somebody say, oh, he'll come back in the tribulation. Him and Moses, they're going to come back and die. You can't put that together. The Bible said he was translated that he should not see death. If he comes back and he sees death, then the scriptures is broken. For he was translated that he should not see death. That's why he was translated, by faith that he should not see death. He was not under the law. He was not under the penalty of the law. There was no death to Enoch. Moses and Elijah has to come back and die because they were under the penalty of the law. But brother, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. We're under grace. We don't have to die. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have to die because we are not under the law. You say, Brother Pike, are you preaching that people are going to live forever? I'm preaching what Jesus said, preach, that men can and will live forever. Hallelujah. We can and will live forever. Why? Because we are children of the resurrection. How can children of the resurrection die? How can children of the resurrection die? Oh, my brother, sister, you can die if you want to, but the children of the resurrection don't die. They are equal to the angels, and the Bible said they cannot die. They cannot die, those that are accounted for the resurrection. Are you accounted for the resurrection tonight? So then tonight, we are children of the resurrection, and we don't have to die. We have eternal life. I'm glad that I have eternal life tonight. I'm glad that I know the power of faith tonight. I'm glad that I understand the wonderful blessings of Jesus. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. Just be patient. I know you're still standing. I'm not going to preach a second sermon to you. I'm just finishing the first one. All right. So then, being children of the resurrection, we have a great thing, folks. We have a great opportunity. Are we then going to forfeit our rights to eternal life for the beggarly elements of this world? Are we then going to be under bondage to the beggarly elements of this world? Let's get rid of the world. Let's get it out of our heart. Let's get it out of our life. Let's do away with it, because the world is never going to understand what we're saying. This is not given to the world. They said, Lord, why is it that they don't understand what you're saying? He said, it is not given unto them to understand. They are not eternal. They are not gods. They are not going to live eternally. They'll never understand it. For the light shined in darkness, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. But he said, it's given to you to understand, because you are eternal. You are eternal. All right, let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at his feet. Oh, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus? Now don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah, I feel Jesus tonight. Don't you love Jesus tonight? If you love Jesus tonight, lift your hands up and tell Jesus that you love him. If you come here to this arena for a blessing, lift your hands up and believe in Christ and get a blessing tonight. If you came here tonight to be a blessing, lift your hands up and pray that God will bless others tonight. Let's love Jesus. Can you love Jesus tonight? What a wonderful opportunity to be a child of the resurrection. To be in the Spirit of God tonight and feel the wonderful presence of Jesus. What a great opportunity tonight. As we feel the blessings of God. As we feel the presence of God. As we understand the great wonderful anointing of God. As it comes down upon us. What a wonderful opportunity to be like Jesus.
What a wonderful opportunity to have that great covering of the Shekinah glory that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Oh, my brother, since Calvary, you can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Since Calvary, you can put on the wedding garment. Since Calvary, you can have that great, wonderful covering that's been lost down through the years. And you can have the hope of God that maketh not ashamed. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? While we're praising God tonight, let's just believe the Lord. Let's just believe the Lord. The Bible said when you pray, believe. Let's just believe the Lord tonight. Let's just believe the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thrill. What a wonderful anointing. What a wonderful moving of the Spirit. What a wonderful time. Brother, sister, just to be like Jesus. Just to be in the presence of God and in the presence of the saints of God. Did you know that when you're in the presence of the saints of God, that you're in the presence of God? What a wonderful opportunity tonight to feel His presence. To feel the freedom of God here tonight. And to know that Jesus is with us. And to know that Jesus loves us tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to the wonderful name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. For if you'll trust and don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Now if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Megafair, well, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Can you sing it with me now? Go leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, Christ will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Now tonight,
your body suffers pain.
If you want something from God tonight, I want you to come and stand around the altar.
And you have to.
If you're asking God to do something for you, if you're desiring something of God, I want you to come and stand around the altar tonight. Give God a chance. God will do something for you tonight. God will do something for you tonight.
To the Lord, leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Yes, leave them there. Just take your burden to my Lord and leave them there. If you live a holy life,
hallelujah,
find the wrong. And
somebody say hallelujah.
Take your burden to my Lord, leave them there.
Go leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it
there. For if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. You know, that's the problem. Sometimes we take our burdens to the Lord, but we don't leave them with the Lord. Isn't that right? We take them to the Lord, but we don't leave them with the Lord. You know, some people, they give their heart to God today, and they want to take it back tomorrow. They give their heart to God today, but they want to take it back tomorrow. If a little inconvenience arises, if something comes up to where they need to do something out in the world, you know, do a few things out in the world that's convenient, things that might be profitable, things that might be rewarding, they say, Lord, if you'll excuse me for just a little bit, I'll bring my soul back to you day after tomorrow. And they want to take their heart back. They want to take their heart back. But folks, the Bible said, swear unto your own hurt and change not. Don't ever change. Don't ever change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Don't ever change. Don't ever change. Give your heart to God. Don't ever change. The Bible said, don't mess with them that's given to change. Don't ever change. Give your heart to God once and for all. Make up your mind that you're going to be a Christian. You're going to be a Christian when you're with us down here. You're going to be a Christian when you get out there. You're going to be a Christian when problems come. You're going to be a Christian every day of your life. Isn't that right? You're going to be a Christian. Just make up your mind that you're going to be a Christian. A real, genuine Christian. A lot of people say, well, we're not having revival anymore, Brother Pye. It's because you're not doing the same thing they've done in the days they had revival. That's all. That's all. Somebody said, well, it's a different day. But it's not a different Christ. It's not a different Christ. Tell me, we can't have revival anymore. But you can have revival if you do the same thing that they'd done in the day when they had revival. Men of God prayed. Men of God fasted. Men of God spent time on their knees talking to God. And they had revival. Men of God were not busy trying to make money, get prestige. Men of God were not looking for social benefits. They were seeking souls, and they had revival. And brother, today you can do the same thing. Jesus hasn't changed. The harvest is ripe. The labors are few. The harvest is ripe. The labors are few. The labors are few. Hallelujah. While they're here, if you want to be prayed for, I want you to just come up a little closer here, and I want to lay hands on you. I just want to lay hands on you tonight and pray for you. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll pray for us here. Praise God. You love Jesus. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Grady, can you come up here? I'm going to ask Brother Grady to come up and pray with us. Brother Tom, will you come up here and pray with us? Brother Tom Garnes. You love Jesus. We're going to pray for these people tonight. I love Jesus. I believe in the wonderful things of God. I believe that God is a healer. I believe that God is the Savior, Ed. I believe He's that wonderful, saving God of grace, God of righteousness. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. Hallelujah. It's all right to say glory to God. It's all right to shout and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be a Christian. To know that God is real and to know that God is doing something. It's so wonderful.
Don't you love Jesus tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Messiah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I can feel His presence. I can feel His moving. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Don't you feel Jesus? I feel revival in the air. How do you feel revival in the air? Hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel revival in the air. Praise be unto God. God is so wonderfully good. Tonight I feel God doing something. Let's love the Lord and let's pray tonight. And as these brethren pray with me tonight, I want you as brethren to pray tonight that God will do something special. I want you to open your eyes to the revelation of Jesus Christ tonight. I want you to see the glory of God tonight. Open your eyes and behold. Open your eyes and behold. And let the scales fall from your eyes and look beyond the veil. And behold the glory of God. And behold the glory of God. Look beyond the veil and behold the glory of God. Don't you feel Jesus tonight? Don't you feel Jesus tonight? What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful blessing. Hallelujah, Brother Tom. Y'all, let's pray. Brother Grady, the little one's got trouble tonight with his ear. Let's pray for these as we lay our hands on them. I want you to believe with us tonight, folks. And we want to pray. And whether it's a little thing, and yet it's not a little thing when it's a bad ear, that's a painful thing for a little fella. But whether it's, as the world would say, a little thing, or whether it's cancer, whether it's disease, or whatever it might be, let's pray tonight and believe God. Can we do that? Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, we pray for this little one. Oh, God, heal. I feel your healing tonight. Heal the name of the Son of God tonight. Heal. Oh God, bless and heal tonight. Father, let your great spirit come down. Father, and heal tonight. May the blessings of God be here as we feel the anointing of God. Father, heal tonight. Save tonight. Father, forgive tonight. Father, bless tonight and heal in the name of Jesus. Father, as we lay hands upon these people tonight, may your spirit be here tonight. Oh God, may you heal. May you touch these people tonight. May thy spirit be upon them tonight, oh God. May your blessings be upon them in Jesus' name tonight. I ask for your touch from heaven, Father. As we lay hands upon these people, bless Paul tonight in the wonderful name of the Son of God. May the Spirit of the great God of heaven be here tonight. And oh God, touch this brother tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. I ask you to touch Tom tonight, Father, in the name of the Son of God tonight. May the blessings be upon Tommy tonight. Oh God of heaven. Lord, by your spirit, by your blessings, touch this brother tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May thy spirit be here. Oh God, may your anointing be upon Dol. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God. Father, we feel your presence and blessing upon Dahl tonight. May the love of God be with him. May the power of God be upon him. May you direct his path tonight. May you enlarge his heart and give him that drive and perseverance that he needs for Jesus. Hallelujah, in your name tonight, Jesus. Father, touch this brother. In the name of Jesus tonight, may your spirit be upon him. May you touch him tonight in the name of Jesus. As I feel this anointing, oh God, may the blessings of God be here. My God, may your blessing be upon Brother Paul tonight. Fill Brother Paul with the Holy Ghost. Break the yoke, heal the body. Bring the blessings of God in the name, in the name, in the name of the Son of God. In Jesus' name tonight, hallelujah. Father, bless this little lady in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight. May your spirit be upon her to heal her, to save her, forgive her. Let the blessings of God be on her. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee in the name of Jesus tonight. Move your hands from off of this sister to hinder her. Oh, I speak in the name of the Lord to bring her happiness, to bring her peace, to bring her joy in Jesus' name. May your spirit be. Oh, God, in the wonderful name of the Son of God tonight, bless this brother in Jesus' name. May thy spirit be with us all. Touch us tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Fathers, I lay hands upon these brethren. God, I feel your blessing tonight. Heal and save and forgive and anoint tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus Christ and save tonight. Oh, God, bring peace, rest, and understanding, and heal and save and forgive. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Bring the mighty anointing of God, the power of great deliverance, Father. Heal tonight, save tonight, and forgive in the name of the Son of God. Oh God, and touch these tonight as I lay hands upon them tonight. In the name of the Son of God, Father, save, heal, fill with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bring answer, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch the sister tonight. Bring faith and confidence and assurance, and let her know that everything is going to be all right in the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, break the yoke, the doubt, the bondage, and bring your power of deliverance in Jesus' name. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, touch this sister. May the Spirit of God tonight rest upon her. No, God, fill her with the great loving Holy Ghost. Lord, to let her be a light. Lord, to shine, God, as the brightness of the noonday sun. Lord, that men may see the good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Touch these tonight with the power of God and with your Spirit, oh God. Heal and save and forgive tonight. Touch this sister, Father. May the richness of your blessing be here and the fullness of your Spirit be here tonight. May the power of the resurrection be here tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, let your spirit be here to heal and to save tonight and to forgive, oh God, according to your blessings, according to your kindness, according to your love. Dear God, touch the sister tonight. Let the Spirit of God be upon her. In the name of Jesus tonight, heal and save and forgive tonight. Filled with the Holy Ghost, Father, may your spirit be here. May the power of deliverance be here tonight. May the glory of God be here tonight. Lord, as we lay hands upon these people, bring peace, God, bring healing. Bring salvation, bring deliverance. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that you'd save and heal and forgive. Oh God, in the name of Christ Jesus tonight, heal and save and forgive. Anoint in the mighty name of the Son of God. Oh God, touch this brother tonight. Hallelujah. Yea, and I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy faith. And yea, and I am concerned even about the problems that thou hast encountered, and I shall be with thee and I shall help thee. Yea, thou hast been in deep despair, and thou hast been troubled, and thou hast been greatly worried. But the Lord is with thee, and the Lord shall help thee. If thou shalt walk in the pathways of the Lord, yea, I shall make thee as a bright and a shining star, and thou shalt be a light unto the people. Yea, and they shall believe in that which thou hast spoken, for the Lord shall bless thee. Hallelujah. Touch these tonight in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. As I pray tonight, I pray that the great Spirit of God would be upon these people. Father, touch this sister in the name of the Lord tonight. In the name of the Lord God, touch it tonight. Father, touch it tonight. Heal it tonight. Lord, forgive it tonight. Touch his body tonight. Anoint him with that great, mighty anointing that comes from the Son of God. Oh God, and let that Spirit rest upon him tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to heal and to save and forgive. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh God, touch Jim tonight. Anoint Jimmy. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, as he tries to walk with thee. Father, as he follows the footsteps of Christ, tell him, teach him, lead him, guide him, and bless him. In the wonderful name of the Son of God, bless this sister. And oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name tonight, do something, oh God, for this sister. In Jesus' wonderful name. Lord, as I feel your power, as I feel your presence, as I feel your glory tonight, hallelujah, in the Son of God tonight, heal, dear God, and deliver tonight, forgive tonight, and touch these tonight, in the name of the Son of God, to bring thy deliverance and to bring thy blessings, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Can we praise God tonight? Can we give glory to God tonight? I feel the moving of the Spirit of God here tonight. I feel the anointing of God here tonight. Can you love Jesus tonight? Can you love the Lord tonight? Can you lift up your hand tonight and praise God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let us praise him. Praise him. Oh, praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him. Oh, praise him. Let's praise him when the sun's going down. Oh, let us love him. Love him. Love him in the morning. Love him at the noontime. Love of him. Oh, love him. Love him when the sun's going down. Oh, sometimes I feel heaven come down. Heaven's come down, oh, heavens come down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heavens come down. Heavens come down on me. Sing it again. Let us praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him.